More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. Today on the show, we air the first installment in a 2-year weekly series that focuses on gun violence and children in the Milwaukee area.
Precious Lives will examine the impact of suicides, accidental shootings, and in the case of the segment we'll hear later in the show, murder. It's a project that seeks to reach as many people in the community as possible, and that goal is behind the broad collaboration at the heart of it.
Precious Lives is produced by Milwaukee's 371 Productions, but it will also bring in the work of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, radio station WNOV, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. You'll hear it each Tuesday on Lake Effect.
To give us a preview of the series, we're joined this morning by producers Emily Foreman and Eric Vaughn, and by Ashley Fogel, who is featured in the first episode, which we'll hear in a few minutes. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What's the story you're trying to tell through this project?
We're trying to tell the story. It's really about youth and gun violence in Milwaukee. But we're really just trying to paint a picture of what Milwaukee looks like now in terms of what is it like living here and what is it like living around gun violence.
Let me ask, maybe it's an obvious question, but one I think that we need to discuss. Why is it important to tell this story in this way versus the way the story is often told? And either of you?
I think it's important because it puts a face, if you can do that through radio, it puts a face on the victims. It gives a chance for family members and friends, people who know these people who have been victimized by gun violence, to tell stories about the people they loved and the people they miss. It hopefully will connect people from this community with the lives of people they didn't necessarily know, but certainly through these stories can find some commonality, can find something to relate to.
Mm-hmm. And Emily, you are new to the community, but as you looked into these stories and looked into the kinds of reporting that have already been done, is that something you found missing?
In a way, yeah. When you listen to the news, I mean, I am a part of the media, but you kind of get this overwhelming feeling like there's this problem. There's so much violence. There are people dying. And it's just overwhelming. And I always feel like I want to know more. I want to know why. I want to know who these people are. I want to know who the shooter is. I want to know who the person is that was affected. I want to know how they felt. I want to know more about the victim. And with the story series, we have an opportunity to do that. And I mean, when I'm sitting down and doing these interviews, it stretches me, and it stretches my ideas about the way things are, and I want listeners to have that same experience of someone telling their story through their point of view.
Well, so who are the kinds of people whose voices we're going to hear over the course of this series?
We're going to hear a wide range of people. So it's not only about – I mean, definitely a big part of this is remembering victims of gun violence. So we're going to talk to mothers that have lost kids. We're going to talk to kids that have lost their friends. But then we also hope to talk to trauma survivors as well. I've spoken to adults that were shot as children and are still – coping with that in different ways, but also community members too that feel like they have maybe a good local solution or are doing things to try to curb the violence in Milwaukee.
Do you think that makes it a little less overwhelming?
Yeah, because I mean, it gives the listener a call to action in a way. The way it's set up is you listen to the story and you're moved by someone's personal story, but then we're also going to add a positive tag at the end of these. Okay, you've listened to this. Now what can we do? What resources are out there? Where can we go next? How can we continue the conversation?
Eric, you've been part of the local media for a long time. Do you think there are stories that either aren't being told or just being told in a way that isn't constructive?
I just don't think that we can give enough time, or we do give enough time, to the complete story. We know that these kinds of stories oftentimes start the newscast every day. But then, as Emily points out, we don't find out much more than that this terrible incident happened, that the police are looking for the perpetrators. You find out a little about the person who was victimized by this action. But beyond that, how has that left that family? How's that left the community that these people come from? what's the community learn from that so that we can begin to do things differently if there is something that can be done? So I think there's a longer story that needs to be told, and Precious Lives kind of lends itself to that. Even with this, though, I mean, you're always limited, as you know, Mitch. You're limited with time or by time. So you can never do as much with a story that you feel you need to do. But I think this certainly does. Precious Lives gives us an opportunity to go in a different direction than what we typically hear when these kinds of situations occur.
Emily, we're actually joined in the studio by one person who we'll hear from in the project's first installment. But I was hoping you might describe what we're going to hear first in the series and then introduce us to who we're joined by.
First of all, the original inspiration for this story series came from my boss, who's Brad Lichtenstein. He is the owner of 371 Productions. It's a documentary film company. Everything we do is aimed at promoting some sort of social change or raising awareness of something. And so we got some grant funding to do this radio story series, and that's how I was hired. But he really wanted to do this in the first place because he was listening to a story series called In Harm's Way out of New York, and it really was this woman, this reporter, who covered every single kid gun death in 1 year. And it was really going into these families and getting to know the kid, who they were, what happened. And just so you're left with, okay, there was a person at the end of this. And so we still want to start our stories in that way, memorializing, paying tribute to kids that we've lost to gun violence. And so our very first story, we focused on Layla Peterson's story. It's still fresh for everyone. The community is still grieving. And so we wanted to start with Layla's story. And I sat down with Layla's mom, Ashley Fogle, and her best friend, Amanda Legler, who was pretty much like an aunt to Layla. And so Ashley's here.
And Ashley, this is a story that is obviously still very fresh and very personal to you. Were you at all reluctant to tell it again?
There's always reluctancies to relive, to go in deep. And in our family, we don't stop talking about Layla. We are consistently reminding ourselves, hey, remember when Layla did this? Mm-hmm. Or remember when we all did that? And with this, it was helpful, I mean, to get word out about, like you said, like, she is a person. She had a life to live, regardless of her age, even though that mainly affects it even more because she didn't have that full life.
Do you feel like in all the coverage of this horrible thing that sometimes got left behind?
I don't think it got left behind, but there's only so much you can cover by the media. There's only so much you can get on the news, and they do only describe the situation that happened. It didn't describe the person that she was, or the people that she lived with, that she had around her, her friends, her cousins, all those other people that had been affected by this entire situation.
It seems like, and maybe this is a question for all of you, one of the hardest things about this might be the need to tell this story and each of these stories and do justice to it as an individual story and yet connect it to this broader narrative, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's a challenge. We're asking ourselves that every day because we want to connect to that broader narrative, and we don't want people to tune out either. I mean, these stories are hard to listen to. They're tragic. You'll be moved. But that's why – so we're always asking, okay, how do we connect it? And the way we're doing that is we want to make sure we're looking at this in a public health type lens so that, you know, when we're telling Layla's story, we can then branch out from that story, and maybe we can talk to the responding police officers who are there. How did they respond to that situation? We can talk to more members of the community. How were they affected? So we're eventually painting this picture of an environment. It's not just this individual or this family that's been affected. It's a community.
Yeah, I was thinking that there is no chance that there isn't going to be that people won't realize the connection between these stories. I mean, they're all tragic in and of themselves, but they are kind of a snapshot of where this community is on one level. I mean, there are a lot of other things going on in this community, but these things, no matter what else happens in the course of a day, in a news day, when we hear about a shooting incident, particularly those that occur that involve little children, you stop and you think about your child, you think about the neighbor's children, you think about, you know, the community you live in. So I don't think that people are going to have a hard time realizing the connection, recognizing the connection between each one of these stories and understanding what a sad commentary it is on the community that they live in. And hopefully they'll take that sadness, they'll take these stories and listen to those tags at the end, which in most cases will suggest to them things they can do to make their individual situations better. And certainly, I think, overall, the community. If I could, too, I want to commend Emily for the work she's done on this. This is a tough beat. You and I both know from talking to people about these things for a long time on the radio that there are stories that when you do them, they move you. And fortunately, in my career as a radio host, you know, there were some, and they were spread out enough that they didn't beat me down too bad. Emily has been able to begin this project, get it to the point where it is now, and still have a number of other assignments ahead of her to do. And I'm amazed at her resiliency and her ability to bounce back and continue to do this and produce them in a professional manner. At the same time, I'm just meeting Ashley today, and her courage to step up and talk about this, it's got to be very, very difficult. We're talking about her child, and we're talking about a situation that hasn't been resolved. And for her, and I'm sure other members of her family, you know, it'll never be resolved. Even if they find the perpetrator, if they find the person who pulled the trigger, who's responsible for the death of her child, it'll never be resolved for her. So her willingness to step up and talk about this, not just today, but for the piece. And every time someone knocks on her door to ask her a question about it, it just takes amazing courage and amazing strength.
At some level, Ashley, it must be – well, let me just ask. I mean, you know, at one level, I would think you'd want to tell the story for the sake of telling Layla's story. And at the same time, do you hope that when people hear Layla's story, they do something with it and it spurs them to act?
Absolutely. I have said this since probably the day one that our incident has happened, that I've felt betrayed by the community. But it was not the community that betrayed me. It was one person who acted alone, or maybe multiples, but regardless, I love Milwaukee. I was not born here, but I have been darn raised near it. I love Milwaukee. I was coming down here, and I'm just reminiscing how many times I've walked down a certain block, played around downtown, been in front of the Starbucks. I've been all around here. I love this city. My family's grown up here. My daughters will grow up here. And something needs to change because this is our community. Something needs to happen and somebody needs to hear it. Somebody's voice. Somebody's going to speak out and we need to work together.
Mm. Emily, this is a strange way to get to know a community.
It is. It is. It's definitely strange.
But it's just like a relationship. You know, you take somebody for their bad and you want to improve and you embrace them.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've never gotten to know a community this way, period. I've never been more connected, feeling more connected to any other community that I've lived. Maybe when I was in Alaska, I felt very connected. It was a small community there. But I'm just so grateful to be in this role because I get to have these conversations and amazing people like Ashley will open up to me. And I get to hear someone's perspective, someone that I've never talked to before, and understand more about where I'm living. And that's just a really fulfilling way to live your life.
Well, Emily will, I'm sure, check in with you and Eric as well over the course of this series. But first of all, I just want to say it's really powerful stuff so far. And Emily, Eric, and Ashley, thank you all so much for your time.
Well, I think we have to thank WUWM for the partnership that we've developed with this organization, and you in particular, Mitch, and the support that you've given it since we've begun this thing. And, you know, you've got to live this too. So we hope that it doesn't drag you down.
Well, there's no – I mean, really, in all seriousness, there is no more important story that we could tell.
Yes.
Thank you.
Emily Foreman and Eric Vaughn are producers on the radio series Precious Lives. It's about children and gun violence. Ashley Fogle is featured in the first episode. Her daughter, Layla Peterson, was killed in a shooting last year.
And here is the first installment in our series.
This is the story about...
I want to do it, too.
Okay, one, two.
This is Precious Lives.
Stories about kids.
Teens.
Guns.
Guns.
And how we end the violence.
Bye-bye.
Because
we are precious.
Because we are precious.
I'm Eric Vaughn. This is Precious Lives. How do you measure the loss of a five-year-old girl? Layla Christiana Peterson was a granddaughter, a daughter, a sister, a niece, a classmate, and a best friend. Now she's another face of gun deaths in Milwaukee. Layla was shot and killed in November while sitting on her grandfather's lap in her grandparents' home, reading with her older sister before bedtime. A bullet pierced the wall, striking Layla in the head.
Let the family feel the warmth. Come in.
The day after Layla's death, a crowd of neighbors, pastors, reporters, encircled Amanda Legler, a family friend. Layla called her Auntie, or TT for short. Amanda's clutching a poster-sized photo of Layla.
Layla left us too soon. We need to find justice for her. Someone knows something, and they need to come forward. Please, if you know anything, you need to speak up for Layla. She's too young. She just turned 5.
Precious Lives producer Emily Foreman sat down with Amanda and Layla's mom, Ashley Fogle, 2 months after the shooting. They still don't know who did it or why.
Amanda and Ashley realize they can't bring Layla back, but they want answers.
What drove you to shoot up Layla's house? Like, where did that anger come from?
What made you so mad that you had to just go shoot somebody's house up?
Are you proud that you took a 5-year-old from us?
They want to know who shot their little girl and why.
It eats us all alive in the family. Like, we're clueless. I don't think any of us can fully grieve until we know those answers.
It's sad because this is my community. I love Milwaukee. I love living in Milwaukee. I mean, it's like, I feel betrayed.
They get the sense that the shooter is hiding in plain sight.
I live over here. You probably live over here. You probably go to the store around here. Mm-hmm. You pass me. And I don't even know it. It makes me nauseous. It makes me really sick.
Layla was shot in Ashley's childhood home, where her parents still live, near the corner of 58th and Fairmount. Amanda grew up across the street.
Our parents forced us into the friendship. That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had an arranged friendship.
They both were teen moms. They both had 2 daughters. Their daughters are best friends. That is, until now, because Layla's gone.
We had kids right about the same time.
Lots of birthdays, sleepovers, and Disney princess accessories have been shared between the 4 girls. Amanda's 8-year-old is trying to make sense of Layla's murder.
And she goes, Mom, those bad people out there, I really hope that they find them. But you know what? I think Layla's a pop star. And I was like, why is Layla a pop star? And she's like, well, if the bad things that happened to Layla happened to anyone else, I don't think they'd be as popular as she is. She was wonderful, right, Mom?
Layla's death is so fresh that Amanda still talks about her in present tense.
She's very sweet and compassionate.
She was always an old soul.
Like an old grandma.
Yeah.
She's very caring and tender to everyone, even if you're complete strangers.
Ashley's favorite Layla moment was when they were washing grapes together.
She just looked at me and she goes, Mom? And I was like, yeah. She's like, sometimes I feel like I'm your mom.
The night Layla was shot at her grandparents' house, Ashley's dad called around 6 p.m.
He goes, Layla was shot.
She remembers the little details, struggling to find her coat, even though it was at her feet, driving up to her parents' house, seeing the caution tape.
Just the yellow line, and it was dark. It was blackout. It was already 6:30 at this point. And I just lights. That's all, you know, everything was just like a blur, and you know, I saw everything clear, but it was so fuzzy. The first question I asked when I got on scene was, where was she shot? And he took a big pause, and then he said, in the head. It was so selfish of me. But all I could think about was, she's never going to be the same. She's never going to be the same. She's never going to be the same.
Amanda joined the family at the hospital.
Once they moved us into the chapel, I knew, like, you just know, like, why are they moving us into the chapel? You knew at that point, and we were all losing it.
Amanda tried to calm Ashley's mom, Maggie. Maggie was in the room when her granddaughter was shot.
You heard her screaming, and I tried consoling her, and usually, you know, I can do that. But there was no getting through to her, and she collapsed within 5 minutes of being there. She was on the floor, and they had to admit her to the emergency room.
I remember when I came home from the hospital that night, I was sitting on the couch. I was like, this is not my life. Like, this is, I am too plain for this to happen to.
My thing when I went back to the house to get your mom's medicine is I wanted to make it look like it didn't happen because I didn't believe that it happened, and I didn't want them to come home and, you know, see the blood everywhere. So I had this bright idea to cut out the carpet where, like, Layla's blood was on the carpet. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know where you're supposed to start. So you just start somewhere and hope that you're walking in the right direction.
Ashley and Amanda are doing what they can to keep Layla's memory alive. They got tattoos. Amanda's is a capital L with angel wings next to a sparkling diamond. Ashley had meant to get one when Layla was alive because she already had one for Destiny, Layla's older sister. She had asked Layla what she should get.
And Layla said a zebra.
I guess every Wednesday they colored in their journal and
drew a picture.
The last one so happened to be a zebra.
Layla's last journal entry is abstract. Some parts are there, the stripes, a nose, maybe some hooves. But there's no outline to represent the body. It resembles a zebra, but it's incomplete.
Investigators still need the public's help to find out who's responsible for Layla's murder. Captain Aaron Rapp of the Milwaukee Police Department asks, if you saw something, say something. If you hear something, say something. You can find a number on our website, preciouslivesproject.org. You can also find a link to the dozens of community partners who are working to stop gun violence in Milwaukee. Precious Lives is produced by 371 Productions in association with WUWM, WNOV, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're supported by the Greater Milwaukee and Helen Bader Foundations, music by Kiran V of Fresh Cut Collective.
You'll hear the next installment in the Precious Lives series next Tuesday on Lake Effect. You can find more information about the entire project at wuwm.com/precious-lives. And that's all for the Tuesday edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. We're glad to have you as a listener. Thanks so much for being with us. And I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10. For Lake Effect, it's on listener support at 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
All the latest news comes your way in just about an hour on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR in Boston. But stay tuned because it's 11 o'clock and Fresh Air is next.